We're on the bottom of Chof Ches Amid Beis, 8 lines up from the bottom. The Mishnah records a machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda about a case of Adam Shenishbar Kado Bershus Arabim, a person whose utensil was broken in Bershus Arabim. Somebody got injured, according to Tanakhama, Yochayev. And Rabbi Yehuda says it depends. B'miskaven chayov, b'ena miskaven potter. So the Gemara asks, hechi dami miskaven? What does Rabbi Yehuda mean that he's chayov only if he's miskaven? Omer Rabba, b'miskaven lohorida lemata miksefo. The owner of the kad was lowering this utensil, this jug, from his shoulder, and then he tripped. That's called niskal. We'll have to talk at great length about niskal, someone who trips. As a result of his tripping, the kad falls from his hand and breaks. And Rabbi Yehuda says that in this case, the bala kad is chay for any nezik that's caused by the broken pieces of the kad, because Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that niskal posheahu, that there's a certain element of carelessness when a person trips and falls. If he would have been more careful, he wouldn't have fallen. And therefore, since as a result of this pshia, somebody else was injured by the broken parts of the kad that fell and broke, is therefore he has to pay damages. If he was not niskal, but the kad somehow fell, then Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with the Tanakhama and he holds that the bala kad is potter. He doesn't have to pay any compensation for damages. The Gemara later on is going to explain Rabbi Yehuda in a different way, and this kavin has to do with ownership and not ownership. But right now, we're talking about niskaven as a nitkal situation. Omale Abaye Michlal de Mechayev Rabbi Meir Afilu Nifshara. The Gemara assumes that the Tanakhama of Am Mishnah, who disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda, is none other than Rabbi Meir. And where Rabbi Yehuda says potter, the Tanakhama Rabbi Meir says chayev, which means that even in a case where the kli just simply fell out of his hand, which is called nifshara. Nifshara means nimoach. Maybe there was a hot sun or something, like the pasuk says, v'chama shemesh v'nomes, and this jug, which is made of clay, just melted in his hands, fell down on the ground, which is not even niskal poshea, so it's onus. And yet, Rabbi Meir says in that case, you're chayev, whereas Rabbi Yehuda says you're potter. Amale Rava responds to Abaye, in mechayev hoy Rabbi Meir afilu ozna biyado. Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that even if he's holding on to the handle of the kli, and that's what's left, the whole kli fell on the ground, it's an onus gomer, complete onus, nevertheless, he's chayev. And the Gemara later on, the Gemara earlier, had the pasuk, if you recall, petza tachas petza, to teach us a case of onus. But here's a case of onus gomer. And yet, nevertheless, you're chayev according to Rabbi Meir. And the Ramban in Bava Metzia is famous for his shita that Adam HaMazik is chayv even bonus gomur. And here, it seems that, at least according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're potter bonus. And perhaps we could say that in Adam HaMazik there's a separate, unique halach derived from Petzah Tachas Petzah that generates a chayv on onus. Whereas here we're talking about Nizkei Mamon, and therefore onus is potter on Nizakim. So the Gemara now says, Amai. Why would Rav Meir say Yechayev in the case of Nifshara, Ozno B'yado, which is Onusu, V'yonas Rachmana Patre, which means, once again, that the Gzeres HaKosev Petzah Tachas Petzah, that's in Odom HaMazik to Mechayev and Bo'ones, but in Momen HaMazik we don't have that Gzeres HaKosev. On the contrary, we should apply the universal rule of Ones, Rachmana Patre, derived from Lanaral Osase Dovar, that in the case of a rape situation, a woman is completely exonerated from any responsibility because it was an ones. V'chitem, and if you'll say, Hani mili le'inyin k'tola, when we deal with punishments for a capital crime, the Torah says you're exonerated because of ones, and you don't get the capital punishment. That was the case of Nara Maras Ava le'inyin izakim. But when we deal with damages, and we're talking about monetary obligations of compensation, chayav, the Torah says, yichayavim bonus. For Asanya, we have a brisa that says, nishbra kado velo silko, nofal gmalo velo hemido, Rabbi Meir mechayav behezekon, v'chachomim omrim, and here we turn to Chav Tesam and Aleph, potem idini odom, v'chayav bedin shamayim, umodim chachom Rabbi Meir, we'll go over this in a minute. Umoda, this is the punchline for our purposes. Umoda Rabbi Meir Rabbanon, b'mayla kankanim alagag almanas l'nagvam v'noflu baruch shein mitzuy v'ziku shu patur. The Gemara quotes a brisa to prove that le'inyan ezikin, everyone's on board, even Rabbi Meir, that in the case of ones, your potter, and the brisa has a few parts to it. The reisha of the brisa discusses a case which is similar to our Mishnah, where a person is holding a kad, this jug in Rishus HaRabim, and lo silko, it broke, and he didn't take the pieces, the shards, away, or his camel fell in Rishus HaRabim, and now the animal, the body of the animal, is a takola Rishus HaRabim v'lo amido. And instead of picking up his gamal back on 2 feet, he left it there, and someone came along and tripped on either the broken shards, in the case of the kad, or on the body of the gamal. And Rav Meir says, Yechayev. And the reason for that is because you were meant to be mesalek the shvarim or the gamal, and you fail to do so. Chachomim say that nevertheless, bedini adam your potur, and you're only chayev bedin shamayim. So as far as din shamayim, you're not exonerated until you pay the compensation of tashlumei nezek, because you should have been misalik the takola. But in a bezdin, the nizah cannot sue you for damages. The Chachomim are mode to Rav Meir that if he puts a takana down deliberately, and what does it mean he puts it down deliberately? Either where he takes his Evan and he lays it down on the Rishon Sarabim, or he puts the Evan on the top of a roof, knowing full well it's going to fall from that precarious situation. As soon as a regular, normal velocity wind comes and blows it over, Chachomim Modim in that case, he's Chayav, because the Hanochas Ha'Evan Al-Gabi Rosh Hagag, that itself is a Pshia, that's negligence, knowing that it will fall in a Ruach Mitzuya. It's not like the case of a Nitkal, who tripped as he was walking and his utensil, his kad broke, or his gamal fell. There the creation of the Takola was not Bipshia. But on the flip side, Moda Rabbi Meir l'Chachamim, Rabbi Meir admits that if a person puts a kli on top of the gag, they used to form a pottery from clay, and then they would put it on top of the roof in order to dry it off. It was wet clay, and it fell because of an unusual high velocity wind. He's potter. Because any nefil baruch shedim mitzuya is considered ones. We don't expect a person to anticipate that happening. And we see here clearly from this brisa that even though the chachamim are mechayev a person who puts the takola b'pshia, But on the other hand, in Ones situation, even Rab Meir agrees that the Meiniach Takola is part of because of the din of Ones. They only argue about a case of Nitkal as a result of the fact that he tripped and the cod broke or the gamal fell down. In such a case, we can mechaya for that takola because he should have been more careful, says Rabbi Meir. He's a posheya. But if there was no pshia, for example, the case where the cod just melted in his hands and fell on the ground, even Rabbi Meir would agree that you're patur. So therefore, you cannot explain the machlokas Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah, Rabbi Meir being the Tanakam of our Mishnah, as referring to a case, a situation where the cod broke ba'ones, because in that case, even Rabbi Meir agrees that you're patur. Tosfos here, Dibra Maskel Vatanya, is bothered. How does Gemara prove from this price that Rabbi Meir patters you up? If it was Nishbara Kado Bonus, maybe the Brisa is talking about a case of Ruach Shena Mitsuya, but it was his Evan, his Kankan, that he put on top of the roof, and that's called Mamono. And in the case of Mamono, then Rabbi Meir applies the principle of Ones Rachmana Patri. But in our Mishnah, where the man himself was damaged, flying shards as the owner of the cod fell, that could come under the halacha of Adam HaMazik. Because when he falls and the shards fly, and somebody passing by got hit by one of those shards, that's called Adam HaMazik. And in Adam HaMazik we have a principle that you'd be chayv even for Ruach Sheina Mitsuya. And Tosus answers that our Mishnah is talking about a case where the victim, the damaged party, tripped on the shards or on the water that came out of the cod. That's called Mamono Shehizik. And therefore the question is, why would Rabbi Meir be Mechayev? It's just like the case of Kankanim that fell Baruch Sheina Mitsuya. The Gemara now continues, and based on this kasha, we reinterpret the machlokas shim Rabbi Meir Rabbi Yehuda la'amar Abaye betarte pligi. There's a twofold machlokas shim Rabbi Meir Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah. Number one, pligi b'shas nefila, u pligi li'achar nefila. In other words, when was the victim harmed or damaged? Number one, b'shas nefila. That means immediately when the person fell with his cod. And li'achar nefila means after the cod was already broken, rishus harabim, somebody was damaged because the owner of the cod failed to remove the shards and somebody tripped on them, li'achar zman. The Gemara now explains, pligi b'shas nefila b'nitkal. What's the status of a nitkal? Someone who trips on the road, and as a result, his cod breaks. Poshea? Is he considered a poshea? Marsov, according to Tanakam Rabbi Meir, nitkal poshea who, because he should have been more careful in walking. And if he trips, that is a problem. And therefore, b'shas nefila, says Rabbi Meir, is chayev. And that means that even if he didn't get a chance, there wasn't enough time to remove the shvarim, nevertheless, he's chayev according to Rabbi Meir, because the tripping itself, the nitkal, is a pshia. Again, would that be a pshia even as far as Hilchos Shomrim is concerned, where Shomer Chinam is chayev on pshia? Or maybe the Mishnah, the Gemara, means to say that it's just not ones, and that's why Rabbi Meir is Mechayev. That's going to be a gigantic machlokas Rishonim. But in any event, Umar Sover of Yehudas of the opinion, Nitkal La Poshea. This is a reflection of the principle that we learned yesterday. Ein Darkon Shel Bnei Adam Lizbonein Bidroch. And when people walk, they don't have their minds, you know, focused on their legs and how they're walking and if they're careful. Therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Nitkal La Poshea is Potter. If somebody gets damaged by the broken pieces of the kli b'shas nefila, he's potter according to Rabbi Yehuda, and that's what Rabbi Yehuda means b'miskavin chayev. That means if the Baal Hakad had a certain element of kavana, which means pshia, in breaking the kli in Rishus HaRabim, and as a result of the breaking of the kli, immediately someone was injured, then the Baal Hakad pays nizikin. But b'eino miskavin potur means in the case of nitkal, where he had no kavana to break the kli, or for example, if he's bringing this kad from his shoulder down, and he trips and slips and breaks the kad breaks, he's potur, because nitkal lav poshea. That's the shita of Yehuda. And Abai says, pligi, there's another machlokes, li'achar nefilo. In other words, if after the kad broke, and the owner of the kad failed to remove the shards from Rishus HaRabim, and somebody was damaged, is bedin, what is the yesoda machlokes in li'achar nefilo, is hamafkir nizokov, whether you're chayev or not chayev. Meaning, assuming a person created a mazik, and then he decided, right, with his own possession. His own possession now is the takol b'rishus HaRabim. Now, he's mafkirit. And in the case of Shivrei Kelim, when this kad breaks into small pieces, we can assume that he was mafkir, the kli in most cases. Is that's called mafkir nizokov b'rishus HaRabim? Is mar sover Rav Meir holds mafkir nizokov chayev? Meaning, if he's responsible for creating the takola, he's responsible to remove that takola, and the fact that he's mafkir it doesn't in any way vindicate him from paying tashlumi nizikin. Umar sover Rav Yehuda's of the opinion potur. If somebody gets injured, even though the kad and the Shivrei Kad are hefker, he was mafkir them, nevertheless, he still is responsible, and he's still considered in Dini Nezikin to be the Baal HaTakola, because the Baal HaTakola is the one who created this takola. He's responsible for the Asachrayas, he has responsibility that no one should be damaged and hurt because of this takola, and therefore the Baal HaKad is chayev even shalobashas nefila, according to Rabbi Meir, because he is responsible for this takol, he has to remove this takol. The fact that he was mafkirit is not in any way a mitigating circumstance. And if you take a look at the sugya later on at Daf Memches, there's a case of a shor that digs a bar in someone else's chotzer. The Baal HaShor is chayev b'nizkei achotzer, even though he doesn't own it. And the Baal HaChotzer will be chayev b'nizkei habor, even if he was mafkir his rishus. So you see clearly that a person is responsible to remove a takol. He can't just say he was mafkir it. Later on today, Mirtz Shem will have the sugya v'hofech as a golol, and he wasn't kona the gol by lifting it up more than three tefachim. Nevertheless, he's chayev b'nizkei. And this is, in fact, the shita of Rabbi Meir. The Rambam in Perek Yud Gimel Niskei Mamon codifies the halacha that a person who's responsible for takola, even if the object belongs to his friend, is since he made the takana, the takola, and even though the owner of the takola could remove it, but you were the one who set it up as takola, Mishsarab Mishchayev. Unless he fell ba'ones, that's already something different. Now, according to Rabbi Meir, as we said before, the bar that the Torah was mechayven is Rishus HaRabim, even though he doesn't own it, but he dug the bar, and therefore he's chayven tashlumi nezikin on the bar, and therefore, if a person is mafkir his nizok and his takola, he's chayven no different than a person who digs a bar in Rishus HaRabim. But on the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that when the Torah was mechayven for bar, It's a case of chofer bar birshuso. A person digs a pit in his backyard. V'hifkirs rishuso v'los boro. But he maintained ownership on the bar. This, by the way, is the polar opposite of Shitas Rav that we discussed at great length yesterday. That according to Rav, on the contrary, if you retain ownership over the bar, it comes out the shar, and you chai fekelim, because the essence of bar is hefker. Here, Rabbi Yehuda is holding faker at the opposite. The essence of bar is mamon amazik because you own the bar. And you chai v'tashlumin is zikin because you are mafkir, you're a shus, but you left the bar as yours, and it's mamonohu. And therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if a person digs a bar in Rishus HaRav, that's not his mamon, and he's part on his zikim. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda says, and Rashi explains this explicitly, that a mafkir is takalos of Rishus HaRavim, part of, he's not chayef in his zikim, because he made it hefker. And this identical issue between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda is the issue between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva later on Daf Mem Tesam and Beis. The Ezer Rishus, in what case is the Chofer Bar Chayev? Rabbi Yishmael says, we're talking about Bar Rishus HaRabim, or Bar Rishus HaYochin, and he was Mafkirit. Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that on the contrary, Bar that the Torah was Machayev for is a Bar Rishus HaYochin, and he was Mafkirit Rishus, but he still retains ownership over the Bar. And Rabbah and Rav Yosef later on are going to have a machlokes how to interpret the controversy between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbah is of the opinion that Bar Rishus HaRabim, everybody agrees, is chayev. The machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel is Bar Rishuso. Rabbi Akiva says you chayev even Rishuso because you aren't mafkir the bar. And Rabbi Shmuel says no. He can say to the Nizak, Lo b'shvil sheschai b'nizke b'nizokecha hefkartis rishusi. I was mafkin my rishus, but not in order to engender a chiyuv nizikin. The Gemara is going to clarify how to interpret the language of Yehuda in the Mishnah miskavin chayev, ena miskavin potur, in terms of the case of liach and afilo, which Abai says the second element of the machlokes of Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. And Tosis says the machlokus between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda in the case of Mafkir Nizakov, that applies even if the Nefila itself was Bipshia. Again, Rabbi Yehuda holds Bishas Nefila Yapot because Niska Lav Poshe. But even in theoretically, in another scenario where he was negligent in creating the bar, nevertheless, Rabbi Yehuda says, Tosis insists that the bar for which the Torah says Yechayev is a bar b'shuso, but not a bar b'shuso ramen. And therefore, liach nefila, even if it was nefila as pshia, Rabbi Yehuda holds your potter. Because without ownership over the bar, you're not chayev mishum bar. The Gemara, later on, is going to bring the Shita Rabbi Yochanan. He also is of the opinion that there's a double machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. Bein b'shas nefila, ubein Li'achar Nefila. But he, Rabbi Yochanan, is of the opinion that those two machlokos are really interdependent. In other words, since Rabbi Meir holds Niskal Poshea, therefore he created a bar, a takola b'pshia, and if he doesn't remove that bar, he's chayev according to Rabbi Meir. So the Li'achar Nefila is really a result, a spin-off, according to Rabbi Yochanan, of Shas Nefila, of Niskal Poshea. Rabbi Yudol's Niskal La Poshea. He's not chayev b'achrayis for creating the bar, he's not chayev for achrayis to remove the bar. But that's not Abaye here in our sugya. Abaye thinks that there are two independent controversies here between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, and it's not one single interdependent controversy, and the Lashon HaMishnah would seem that there are two different issues that they're arguing about. One is the status of Nitkal v'shas Nefila, and the other is, even if I grant you that you were a Poshea, nevertheless Rav Yehuda argues Shalom v'shas Nefila because since you were mafkir nizakov, you're not chayev to remove the nizakim. Let's go on in the Gemara. The Gemara says the following. Umimai. How does Abai know that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir are arguing in a twofold machlokas? The answer is Midiktani Tarte, because the Mishnah seems to have an extra scenario here that's superfluous. The Mishnah speaks about number one, Huchlak Echad Bimayim, and then it says Oshaloka Becharsis. And Hainuach, why was it necessary for the Maslisa to have both cases? It's a repetition. Two examples of Nezek. Elolav, here's how Abai interpreted. Hochi Komar. Huchlak Echad B'mayim B'shas Nefila. When the Kad broke, because the owner of the Kad slipped and fell, the water splashed and damaged the Kalim of the person who was walking by. Or the kli fell and smashed. The owner of the kli did not remove the shards. And as a result, somebody was damaged over these broken pieces of charsis. And therefore, there's a twofold machlokas of shas nefila, niska poshea, la poshea, and shalova shas nefila about mafkir nezokov, li achar nefila. The Gemara says, umida masnisim etarte. If you're telling me that in the Mishnah there's a twofold machlokes, is Braisa nami betarte? It's logical to assume that in the Braisa itself there should be a twofold machlokes, shas nefila and lav and liachar nefila. And if that be the case, I would like to ask the following question, says the Gemara. The Braisa is talking about a case where his kad breaks or his gamal falls. How could it be that the Braisa is talking about a machlokes in a twofold way, bein b'shas nefil, bein shalakar nefil, bishle mekado? You can say that in the case of kad in this braisa, there's the two possibilities, two scenarios, mishkachas la, o b'shas nefil, yachar nefila. It means that either the water splashed out of the kad and immediately damaged someone, or the kad broke into pieces, and after, subsequently, somebody tripped on them and injured themselves. Elagmalo. But in the case of Gamal, I don't understand how you can have a shas nefila. What happens is the Gamal falls and somebody trips over the carcass. Bishleim liachar nefila mishkachasla. That makes sense. Liachar nefila, he didn't remove the Gamal. He didn't stand up the Gamal. And that's called mafkir nivloso. Oh, now the Gemara is assuming that the Gamal died and we're left it as a carcass. And he, the owner of the Gamal, was mafkir the nevela. He declared it hefker, and then someone tripped on it. That's shalom b'shas nefila, and that's the machlokas Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda about mafkir nezokov. Ela b'shas nefila hechimish kachas lo. What's the case where the animal fell, and toch kidei, as it was falling, we have a nezek that took place? And even if I hold that Adam, a man who trips, is called a poshea, niskal poshea, like Rav Meir holds, because he should have been careful when he was walking. But in the case of an animal, and the animal was nitkal, what do we expect from the owner of the animal? You can expect the owner of the animal to be careful about the way he walks, but not be careful about the way the animal walks. Omer Rav Acha, kigon di avra b'mayim. The owner of this gamal took the camel through the water. Derech sarata dinara. Sarata is the place where the water covers the ground. The river overflows, the banks of the river. And the person takes his gamal through the water in a place where the nar, the river overflows and covers the road, the pathway. And therefore, since the gamal couldn't see the pathway, it was covered by water, he was nitkal, he tripped and fell. So therefore, Rabbi Meir holds that in this case, nitkal poshea, even though it was not the person who was nitkal, but the gamal was nitkal, because the owner of the gamal was responsible for setting up this precarious situation where the gamal was nitkal. The Gemara says, hey, chidami, idi ikadarkach rina. If there was an alternative road there was no compelling need to take the gemal through the water, is posheahu, and even the chachamim would say that you're chayev in this case. Rishonim discussed what would be if a man walked into the water in order to pass over, he had another opportunity, another alternative road. Would we apply the principle here of niskal posheah because he could have gone down a different road? And Ruki Yosef, for one, says no. Only in the case of Gamal, that's a Pshia, he should have taken him down a different road. But a man, a human being, has the possibility of being careful even when he goes through the water, and therefore Niskal Lav Poshe, according to that Mandi Omar. In any event, here that he had another road, another pathway to take his Gamal, he's a Poshe, and even the Chacham would agree that he's Chayev. The Idaleka Derach Achrin, if there was no other option, is Onosu. These are circumstances beyond his control. You know, he's got to get to where he's got to get to with this gamal. There's no way of getting there except if you go through the water. Elamish kachasli the itkal v'as kila be gamlo. What happened is the human being himself tripped, and as a result of the fact that he tripped, the gamal following after him tripped, and the person, according to Rabbi Meir, who tripped while he was walking, niskal poshea, and therefore as a result of that pshia, the gamal himself was niskal, and he fell and died. That's the machlok shrin Rabbi Meir, and chachomim, according to Rabbi Meir, niskal poshea, and therefore since his pshia caused the takol the gamal, he's responsible for that, and he has to pay damage. So according to chachomim, niskal is lav poshea, and therefore he's potter on the nizokim that were caused by the gamal. And this is the case of Shas Nefila. Now the Gemara says, we have a twofold machlok stream, Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda, koin Abaye, nitkal, number one, and mafkin izokov, number two, is mafkin izokov, my miskavin ika. Now there's the lashon of Rav Yehuda, now Mishnah, of miskavin chayev, ena miskavin potter. How do we interpret this in the light of the second machlokus, which are bypassed? The first machlokus we already explained, whether niskal's poshea, you know, he was miskaven lahoridus hakad, and then he tripped. And that's the machlokus where Rabbi Yudas says, niskal lav poshea, and that's called eno miskaven, and he's potter. But now you're talking about the question of the shards on the ground, and he was mafkir them, and whether he's chayev now, bachriyusom or not. How do we fit that into the mission of Miskavin? Shalom Miskavin. Omer Av Yosef. The Miskavin Lizkos Becharoseho. That what Rabbi Yehuda meant to say when he said Miskavin Chayov is when he had in mind to acquire ownership over the broken pieces of shard after they fell. What it really doesn't mean that he had to make a kinyan on them. He didn't make any kinyan on these broken pieces, but rather he didn't have in mind to be mafka them. So since he owned the kli, the kad in its shlemus, now he owns the shards of the kli. And that's what it means, miskavin. Miskavin means that he had no intention to be mafkir the shards. That's an unusual kind of case, but he wants to take the shards home and bring it to a potter and have it reconstruct the kli. And he's chayev on the zikin, says Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda identifies bar v'shus harabim as hifkir v'shusa below bar. I mean, he retains ownership over the bar, and here too, he retains ownership over the takola, over the broken pieces of the kad. V'chein omer ravashim is kavim l'zkos b'charaseho. Now, the Gemara is going to bring an additional opinion, that of Rabbi Elazar, who also had something to say to explain and clarify the machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Elazar says, b'shas nefila machlokes. The argument here between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda revolves around one and only one issue, and that's a hezik b'shas nefila about whether niskal is poshea or lav poshea. So the Gemara says, Avol Yachar Nefila Mai. Rabbi Elazar tells us that there is absolute agreement between Rabbi and Rabbi Yehuda in Liachar Nefila, but in which direction he doesn't tell us. Does everybody agree that you're potter? Everybody agrees that you're chayev. So the Gemara says the following. Divrei HaKol Potter. if we take one possibility of the two, then even Rabbi Meir is moda that shelo b'shas nefila, he's patur, because he was mafkir his nizakim. The Gemara says that's impossible. Vayikar Rabbi Meir de Mechayev, we know, based on the Braisa, that if somebody falls and his kad is broken into pieces and he neglects removing the shards, that's called hezek lach nefila. Rabbi Meir says yechayev. Elamai, you're going to have to, by elimination, interpret the call chayev. That in the case of shalom v'shas nefila, according to Rabbi Lazar, even the chacham agree that yechayev, despite the fact that you were mafkir the shards, va'ikar rabbanon de patri, rabbanon in the braisa, the chacham disagree with Rabbi Meir, and they hold that if a person breaks, if the kad of a person breaks in shesaram and he neglects to remove them, since they were hefker, is patur. Elomai, what did Rabbi Lezer mean when he said the machlokes is b'shas nefila, af b'shas nefila, v'kom mashmal and kabaye? So we have to reinterpret Rabbi Lezer in a way that he is saying exactly what we saw in Abaye, namely that the machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda should be interpreted as a twofold machlokes, and when he said b'shas nefila machlokes, he meant even b'shas nefila, that there's an additional machlokes above and beyond mafkir nizakov leach nefila. What about niskal? There's a machlokes whether niskal is poshea or not poshea. So at this point, the Gemara concludes that Rabbi Lazar is really just a repeat of what we learned in Abaye, and it's a double machlokes. Now we turn to Chavtes Amid Beis. For Rabbi Yochanan Omar, liachar nefila machlokes. There's no machlokes about shivrei kelim b'shas nefila, but rather shivrei kelim shivrei hakad liachar nefila. And later on, the Gemara is going to explain the machlokes and what the root of this controversy is between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda according to Rabbi Yochanan. So Gemara clarifies, Avol b'shas nefila mai. Again, Rabbi Yochanan doesn't tell us in which direction there is mutual consent with regard to shas nefila. Is it diri akol potu means niskal lav poshea? But that's impossible. For midikom Rabbi Yochanan kamon, Rabbi Yochanan goes on record as saying later on, in two blot down the line, lote masnisin Rabbi Meir he diomer niskal poshea he, etc. etc. Rabbi Yochanan explicitly identifies Rabbi Meir as the man the omer of niskal poshea michlal the Rabbi Meir mechayev. Impossible. It's impossible to maintain that Rabbi Yochanan was implying that b'shas nefila everybody agrees it's potter. Rabbi Meir certainly says yechayev. Elamai, the alternative is to say divrei kol chayev. And it means that even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that niskal is a poshea. V'hamidikom Rabbi Yochanan l'kamon lo tema masnisin Rabbi Meir he diomer niskal poshea hu michlal depatri rabbonon. The words of Rabbi Yochanan attributing niskal poshea to Rabbi Meir exclusively imply that according to the Chachamim niskal la poshea yipot. So based on this question, we're going to have to reinterpret Rabbi Yochanan. Elohaka mashmalan. Rabbi Yochanan wanted to tell me the following. There's no doubt that there is machlokas tanoim bein b'shas nefila, bein shalo b'shas nefila. But what is the chiddush here of Rabbi Yochanan? What did he emphasize here about liachar nefila machlokas? And that is, he wanted to teach you that mafkir nizokov dehocho hu depatri rabbonon, di onusu. Aval mafkir nechosu bi'alma, that, and this is in contrast to Abaye, Rabbi Yochanan wants to say that the only reason why the Rabbanon, meaning Rabbi Yehuda, is poter in the case of Mafkin Zochav, that's only because the initial creation of the Takola was Ba'onis, because Niskal Lav Poshea, according to that Shita. However, a person is not onus, and he's really responsible through his negligence for creating a takola, then even the Chachom would agree that Mafki Nizokov, Liach Nefila Aspshia, is Chayov. Itmar. Now the Gemara is going to analyze this issue of Mafki Nizokov. Hamafkin is Zokov. A person places something down, a takol in Rishisaram b'pshiyo, he had no right to do so, and then he was mafkir his nechosim, his takol. Is nechleku, we're going to have machlokes, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Lozar. Chad Omar Chayov, v'chad Omar Potter. One of these two is going to say that since he was poshe in creating the nez in creating the takola, he's chayav, even though he's mafkir his takola. And the other opinion is no, that bar v'shus harav is potter because bar requires bailus, and therefore hifkir takoloso, it's not his anymore, he's potter. And the only case in which the Torah is machayfa bar, as we said earlier, is bar b'shuso. And then he was mafkir the ground around the bar, but he retained ownership on the bar. Lema, should we say that this machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lozer is in fact a machlokas between the Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanon? Mande machayev ki Rabbi Meir, who said back on Chof Chesam et Beis in the Braisa that if somebody breaks a kad and he doesn't remove the shards, he's chayev. Or if the gamal falls and he doesn't remove the carcass, he's chayev for takola, even though it's hefker. Mind the potar is kirabonon. So the Gemara says, no. Ali, but the Rabbi Meir kuli amalo pligi. Everybody agrees that you're chayev, even though you're mafkir nechosov. Ki pligi, I'll leave the rabbonon. Mind the potar kirabonon. The simple pshat is that according to rabbonon, you're potar mafkir nezokov. He who says that mafkir nechosov is chayav is going to reconcile himself even according to the chacham. Adkan lo patri rabbonon. When the rabbonon say you're potur, that's only el b'mafkir nezokov de hocha. Mishum di onusu avol mafkir nezokov the alma mechayve. Here, the Rabbanan say you're potter b'mafkin ezoch because you weren't guilty of negligence in creating the takola. You were onus in the creation of takola because nitkal lav poshea. But in the case where there was an afilas pshia and then you were mafkir the takola, the Rabbanan agree that yechayev, even though you made it hefker. So it comes out the machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lozar in the case of mafkin nechos lach and filas pshia is a machlokes within the sheet of the chachamim. Do the chachamim agree that despite the fact that he was mafkin nechos of since he created this takol b'pshia, he's chayev b'nezikin? Tistayim, I have a raya to Rabbi Lozar who the omer chayev. He's the one who says that according to chachamim, mafkin nezok of liachan afilas pshia is chayev. The omer Rabbi Lozar mishum Rabbi Yishmael. This is one of the most famous statements in Masechta Bava Kama. It's also in Pesachim, the first perek. Shnei dvarim eina v'shusa shalod ma'asana kosev kilein shehein v'shuso ve'elein bar v'shusa rabim v'chomiz mishei sholso l'mala. There are two categories, two cases in which, even though it's not yours, the Torah makes it into yours. The first case is bar v'shusa rabim. A person digs a bar in a v'shus that belongs to the rabim. He doesn't have any private ownership. Nevertheless, the Torah considers as if it's his bar. And he's chayav mishum amono shehizik. It doesn't mean that he could sell it. It's only in dinei nezikin he has bailus kimomono. And the case of chametz on erev Pesach after the sixth hour, after midday, and from the sixth hour of on, which means after chatzos hayom, there's an iser chametz min haTorah behano, and therefore it's technically not his, and yet the Torah makes it into his insofar as he violates the lavim of Bal Yiroah and Bal Yimotzeh. Now the Rishonim have a tremendous machlokes as to whether there's bailus on Isuri Hanor. Rashi and Sukkah and the Ritva, the Rashba and other Rishonim hold that Isuri Hanor are mufka from bailus. You can't own Isuri Hanor. An Esrog and a Lulav of Isuri Hanor is not Lekatim Lachem. There's no Lachem. And there's no bailus. Other Rishonim, quoted by the Ran and the Dorim, are of the opinion that there is bailus, his ownership on Isuri Hanor, and the Ktsos and Sima Tuf Vav dedicates an entire section to prove that, according to many Rishonim, the Rivash, the Rashba, and others, Isuri Hanor have bailus. Just as the Torah says that as a result of the Yisra Hanah, it's not Pershuso, it's Shalom, but it's not Pershuso, and therefore you can't be Magdish Yisra Hanah to make it into Hegdish. And Chametz, Lechora, you want to be Mavatel Yechametz. How can you Mavatel Yechametz? It's not Pershuso. According to Rashi Visiyah, so it's not even Shalom, but according to the Rashba, the Ran, the Rivash, it's Shalom, but ain't a Rishus, but he can't be Mavatal, something that's out of his Rishus. And therefore, I saw Nakosav Kilein Rishuso in order to be Chayev and in order to allow him to be Mavatal it. And Bittel is meaningful. The Sam Sofer Netshuva writes that as far as Chometz for Pesach, everybody agrees that there's no bailus on Chometz because it's an additional, it's not just Yisra Hanah in general, but it's also a mitzvah's biur. And when there's a mitzvah's biur, which means it's like Kisarif Domi, then there's no bailus. So now we have Rabbi Lozor going on record as saying that Eino Birshuso Shalado. So you see that you chayv for bar, even without bailus. Now, we mentioned in terms of chametz sheish shos lamala, and there's a tremendous machlokus we've shown him, and the Noda of Yudah spends a lot of time on this, as to whether or not you violate bal yirav bayimotze, or just it's a bittel esse of tashbisu from sheish shos erev Pesach and on. And the Mishnah Bura in the Sharat Siyun quotes this machlokus in Siman Tov Mem Gimel. Our Gemara seems to assume that there is an Isur Bal Yirav Bayimotze from Chatzosin on. In any event, we have a clear-cut proof from the words of Rabbi Loza, this famous statement of Bar, Asan HaKosim Kilim Bershus, even though it's not Bershus, the Torah is Machayev Bar, even somebody digs a Bar Mishnah Sarab, it's not his. And therefore, the case of Mafkir Takalos over Sarabim, even though it's Hefkin, it's not his, nevertheless, he's Chayv Mishum Bar. And the Gemara says, Tistayim. In Ochinami, this is a great proof. And therefore, according to Rabbi Lezer, Mafkir Takalos over Sarabim is Chayv. The Gemara now asks, Umi Omar Rabbi Lozor, don't we have a contradictory statement? For Omar Rabbi Lozor, Ipcha, he says the opposite. Tisnan, we have a Mishnah. Later on in Daf Lamed, Ha-Hofech Es Ha-Golol B'Shus Arabim. If a person picks up feces of an animal which are Hefker, that's called Hofech Es Ha-Golol B'Shus Arabim. So he moves them from one place to the other, and when he relocates them, Huzak Behen Acher, in the second location, somebody trips or dirties his clothes on these Golos, Chayov B'Nizko. The Hofech is chayev to pay damages. And l'chora, that means that even though it's Hefker, you're chayev. And that would be okay in the Mishnah alone, and that would support our understanding of Rabbi Elazar, except for the fact that Rabbi Elazar makes the following comment on that Mishnah. V'yomer Rabbi Elazar, lo shonu that halach that you're chayev ha-Hofech, in Tashlum and Ezekiel, that's oila, it only applies, shenis kavin lizkos b'hem, he had intention, when he lifted him up, to take it for himself, to be Zochum in a Hefker. And even though he put it down again in the Rishon, he didn't have in mind to be Mafkir them. So you see clearly that Niskaving Lizkos is a precondition for Blas being Chayev for Tashlum and Ezekin. And you don't say that Hefker, Chofer Barbish Sarab. This is contradictory to what we established in Rabbi Loz in the previous statement. Avalon is Kavin Lisko Sem Potter, Alma Mafkir Nizoka Potter. That you're only Chayev Takol if you own it. And if Hofer Chasagol says Rabbi Loz, you're only Chayev if you own it. So how do we reconcile these two? Omrav Adabar Ava, Enochinami Mafkir, Takolos is Chayev, and Barbish Sarabim is Chayev. Why is the Hofech Zagol Potter? That's because of a different reason. The case of the Mishnah is Shech Zira Limkoma. After lifting up the Golol, he replaced it in exactly the same location it was initially. And that's called to be Mesalik Maisa Rishon. In other words, we go back to the status and the situation that it was initially. And therefore, Rabbi Lozor asks, how can you be Chayev? He's not responsible for creating a bar. It's like the case of someone who digs a bar and fills it in. or a bar that was covered, he uncovered it and then recovered it, he should be potter, unless he had a kavana to be zocher and to acquire ownership over these gelolim, then it's his gelolim, he's chayav for them. Amar Ravina, Ravina tries to embellish and clarify the answer of Rav Adah, and he says, Mashal, the Rav Adah Barav Lamad Dover Domer, I can give you a Mashal to explain Rav Adah. Lemotzi Bar Megula, he finds a bar that's uncovered, Vikiso, he covers it, Chaz Vigilo, and he re-exposes it, and removes the cover. In such a case, he's potter for the Nizke Bar, because he replaced the situation to what it was from the get-go. And here too, when a person moves Glolim from their place, and then he puts it back in their original place where he found them, he's not chayv on the Nizokin. The Gemara says, I don't understand. Omar le Marzucha braid Rav Marilu Ravina. After Ravina made this statement, Rav Marzucha turned to him and he said, Midami, how can you equate the two cases? One who moves Glolim to one who replaces or re-exposes the bar by removing the cover. Hasam, in the case of the Kisui Bar Lo Estalik Lu Maisa Rishon, in the first case, when he covers the bar is still there. And if it's Kayam, Chai V'Kayam in its place, after he re-exposes it and removes the Kisui, we go back to the original situation. The Chofer, the one who dug the bar, he's responsible for the Nezikin. But here is Taliklu Maisa Rishon. No, it's the very moment that he lifts up the Glolim and before he puts it down in a different place, we could always say that the original Bala Takolo put the Glolim down in place A, he's out of the picture. It's not like the case of the bar that still exists, but now temporarily it's covered. Where are the Glolim? They're not there anymore. Holo Dummy, if you want to give an example, if you want to find an analogy between the case of Hofkes HaGlolim and Bar, it's a case of Ella Lemotzi Bar Megula Utmana. A person finds a bar and he fills it in up to the top because of a Chafar, and then he goes back and redigs the bar. This Talik Lumai Sarisha. He completely removed the original bar. The original bar doesn't exist. It's history. It was wiped off the face of the earth. The Kaimalei Bershusa. Now, this new bar, which he dug, is his bar, and he's chayv b'tashlumin. And here too, when a person removes the glolim from their place, he was mesalek ma'isa rishon, the original takol is gone, it doesn't exist, it's off the face of the earth. And now when he puts the glolim down at a different place, he creates a new takol, a new bar, and he's chayv b'nizokin. So how can Rabbi Loza say that he's potter for tashlumin? And now the Gemara backtracks and reinterprets Rabbi Loza based on this kashal amar of Ashi, k'shafacha, Lefachos Mishloshi. He never really lifted, he never totally lifted the Glolim from the ground. And that's going to be the case where Rabbi Loza says that you're a potter if you're not Zocher, if you don't acquire ownership of the Glolim. Again, if he lifted the Glolim above the ground, three Tfachim, that's called Istalkul Maisarish, the original Takol, the original bar of this goal is gone. And there, when he puts it down again, he's certainly chayev, even according to Rabbi Loza, even if he wasn't zoch in the glolim. He created a new bar, and he's chayev for that. That's not the case that we're dealing with. But rather, the case is where he lifted it below three tfachim, which means that it's still considered somach lekarka kekarka, and therefore, becheskas rishon yomedis, the goal is still under the takola of the first guy who put down the glolim, that was never removed, and therefore the sheni, who lifted it up one tefach, or two tefachim, is potter from the zikin, unless he had kavana to be konit. Now, the question I want to raise is, what do you mean he had kavana to be konit? He never lifted it more than three tefachim. So the answer is, and for this you have to really study a sugyim bab metzia, in a case of hefker, the dinim change. And you can be konis something in hefker, according to one man, even beri'ah bi'alma. And how much more so if he lifts it up, even if he lifts it up less than three tefachim, and you'll take a look here in Rashi, Dibramaskel Shahofcha. Tosus, Dibramaskel Ella Omar, adds another point here, that it's very possible that since he collected the glolim in his kli. In other words, he shoveled it into some sort of a container, a receptacle. Therefore, the kli itself is like a chatzar, and it could be kona even without hagbah. And you don't need gimel tfachim. The Rashba quotes Rabbeinu Tam that this sugi here is a proof that if a person is magbia, even if he's magbia only a tefach, he's kona bikinyan hagbah. But the Rashba rejects this Rabbeinu Tam, and he says maybe hefker is different, and therefore hagbah is tefach is enough to make a kinyan. Umay says Gemara duchke de Rabbi Elazar leuk make you go and shafach a pot lefachos mishlosha. What compelled Rabbi Elazar to introduce this ukimta to say that the case is where he lifted it up less than three tefachim? The Mishnah doesn't sound like it. The time of the chin is coming luskos ba, her ain is coming luskos ba lo. That the reason why he is chayev is because he had kavanah to be zocher, and that's why he had to add that we're talking about a case of pachos mishlosha tefachim, and he's only chayev because he was niskavin luskos biglolim. Is lukma lamala mishlosha? The afagav delon is kavin luskos pachayev. Why did Rabbi Elazar say the reason why the Mishnah is mechayev him in this case is because he was miskavin luskos? What compels Rabbi Elazar to say so? He was miskavin luskos and he lifted up less than three tefachim. Maybe he lifted up more than three tefachim. And even if he wasn't miskavin luskos, he created a new bar and he's chayev b'achrayis for these glolim. Is nistalku ma'aser rishon the moment that he lifted up more than three tefachim omarava masnisen kshisei, he was bothered by the Mishnah. Rabbi Elazar had the following question on the Mishnah. My iria hafach. Why did the Mishnah have to say hafach? The word hafach is out of place. Lisnei higbia. It would have been more meticulous, more appropriate to use the word hagba higbia instead of hafach. El shmamina. Kol hafach lamata mishloshu. He rolled it over, so to speak. And that's called hafach. He turned it over. He didn't lift it up. So it was never above three tefachim. And therefore, Rabbi Elazar had to add that the case of the Mishnah is where he's miskavin liskos. Because if he's eno miskavin liskos, he's not chayev, because he was never magbia more than three tefachim. He was never mesalik ma'isa rishon. The Gemara now asks the kashu mida Rabbi Elazar machayev. We had a question in the machlok stream, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan, as to which one held which. Now we say that Rabbi Elazar was the one who says that you're chayev. Is if that be the case, then by process of elimination, Rabbi Yochanan holds Omar Potter. Umi Om Rabbi Yochanan Hachi. I have another statement of Rabbi Yochanan in the context of the Mishnah later on in Daf Lamed that would indicate that Rabbi Yochanan holds Mafkir Nechosov. Mafkir Nizakov is chayev. And now we just said that if Rabbi Elazar says you're chayev, then by definition, by elimination, Rabbi Yochanan says you're potur. For Tanan on the Mishnah of Amatznia, Esakos Vesaschuchis, a person leaves a very sharp object in Rishus HaRabim, Vehagoder Gidro Bekotzim, or he has a gader, which is on the boundary of Rishus HaRabim, and he sets up this gader with kotzim, with dangerous kind of prickly things. The gader, shenof Rishus HaRabim, if he has a wall, and it falls into Rishus HaRabim, and he didn't remove the avonim, v'huzak bahem, somebody was injured by these kotzim, by these avonim, is chayav. Chayv ben Izko, the Mishnah says that Yechayv ben Izko, V'yomer Rabbi Yochanan, lo shanu. Ela b'mafriach, alva b'mitzamtzeim, potur. Now there are two cases here. If a person sets up a gader surrounding his chotzer made up of kotzim, of these prickly, dangerous objects, now, somebody passed the Rishus HaRabim and he was injured by these kotzim. Rabbi Yochanan says the Baal HaGoder is only chayev b'mafriach. In other words, when Stama the Kotzim jut out into Rishus HaRab, that's like Chofer Bar Rishus HaRab. But B'mitzamtzem, if he keeps the Kotzim within his Rishus, then he's Potter. So the Gemara tries to clarify this. And the Gemara says, Mitzamtzem, my time of Potter, Lav Mishum Davile Bar Birshuso. Michal Dechivu de Bar Birshus HaRabim, who we're going to try to prove from this distinction that Rabbi Yochanan presented between Mafriach and Mitzamtzein, that Rabbi Yochanan's of the opinion that Mafkir Nechosev is Chayav. Because we're talking about a situation here where he was Mafkir's Rishus, as you'll see in Rashi. Because if he wasn't Mafkir Rishus, how could the Gemara prove from this that Bar is Rishus HaRabim? Maybe there's a chiv bar b'shuso, and hifkir shuso v'lo hifkir boro, and bar then he's chayv. But b'shuso rab and bar is potter. It must be that mitzamtzem kotz of b'shuso is talking about a case where his mafkir is b'shus, and nevertheless he's potter, because the Torah is only mechayv in bar b'shuso rabim. So the Gemara says that in the case of mitzamtzem and the kotzim are within his chatzer, why is he potter? It must be because it's bar b'rishuso. Notice his chatzer is his rishus. And Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion that the Torah was only mechayev you for chofer bar b'rishuso rab, but not chofer bar b'rishuso, even though that bar is right next to rishuso rab. It borders on the rishuso rab. It must be that bar is b'rishuso rab. The Torah was mechayev a person for digging a bar in Rishus HaRabim, even though the bar is not his. And therefore, we can conclude that Mafkin is Zok of Chayev. In other words, just like a person is chayev for digging a bar, which is not his, in Rishus HaRabim, so too is chayev if he was Mafkin is Takol of Rishus HaRabim. So how can you tell me that Rabbi Yochanan Pat is Mafkin Chosov? Lo, says the Gemara, there's no proof. Liolam Eim L'cha Mafkin is Zok of according to Rabbi Yochanan is Potter. And the bar that you chayev is when it's your bar, and you are mafki rishus, but not the bar. Umitzamtzem, my time of potter. Why you potter in the case of mitzamtzem? After all, the mitzamtzem case is like a chofer bar, or a person leaves the takol in his rishus samach l'rishus harabim. And the answer is mishum deitmar Allah, because we clarified this in the base medrash. Amar av acha breid rav ika, the p'tur of mitzamtzem is lefishein darkon shel bnei adam l'schachech b'ksolim. We don't assume that a person, when he walks through the Rishus HaRabim, is going to rub up against, he'll be so close against the walls that he'll be damaged by the walls. Chichuch b'ksolim. A person doesn't walk so close to the gader akotzim, and therefore, if the nizak went ahead and did such a thing, that's very strange, he takes upon himself the responsibility. The bala gader is not chayef in his zokin. Now the Gemara asks another question. Does Rabbi Yochanan really hold that if a person is mafkir his nizokim, he's part of Rabbi Yochanan, Allah kistam mishnah? Rabbi Yochanan, as a general rule, is committed to a stam mishnah. And we have a stam mishnah later on in Daf Nun Usnan, hachofer bar b'shusaram enofel esocho shoruch hamor v'meis chayev. A person digs a bar in b'shusaram is chayev. And so to a person who leaves the takon of Rishus HaRabim, he should be chayev. Nobody argues with that din. And therefore, la'alocha, Rabbi Yochanan accepted that din. How then could Rabbi Yochanan say that a person who is mafkin in the zok of his potur? Ella, therefore, the Gemara changes its position. Eli olam, Rabbi Yochanan omar chayev. If a person is mafkin in chosov, he's chayev. Umid Rabbi Yochanan omar chayev. Rabbi Lezer Omar Potur. But then you're going to have to tell me by proselytization that Rabbi Lezer is the one who says that Amafke Takaloso is Potur. Omar Rabbi Elazar. And here we turn to the Aflamet Omar Aleph Mishum Rabbi Yishmael. The famous statement of Bar is Eino B'Shusa Shal Adam Lokasha Hadi Dei Hadar Rabbe. Rabbi Lezer himself says that if you don't own the bar, literally, in Choshev Mishpat terms, full-fledged ownership, you're not chayef for bar. But Rabbi Yochanan was quoting his Rebbe, Rabbi Shmuel. According to Rabbi Shmuel, who's his Rebbe, the halacha is that bar is chayef even though it's ownerless, it's hefker. Chofer bar v'shesarabim is chayef. That's Rabbi Shmuel's sheet, and that's Shnei Dvarim. But if you ask Rabbi Elazar himself, he's of the opinion that you must have ownership, and that's a precondition, and therefore Mafkir Nizakov is potter. Rabbi Yochanan is the one who would say Mafkir Nizakov is still chayav, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan said Halachik Istam Mishnah Hachofer Barbish Zerabim is chayav. The reason why Rabbi Yochanan is poter in the case of Mitzamtzim es hakotzim, the Godel shel kotzim, is because it's in his reshus, it's chotzim b'shuso. Rabbi Yochanan holds that the Torah was machayev you for bar only in chofer bar b'shus harabim, which means that mafkin is okav is chayev. Rabbi Lozzi says mafkin is okav is potur. Okay, Rabbi Lozzi, we'll stop here.